You need somebody in your corner and you need a team.
It's about finding the partners that are going to help you bring your story and your vision to life.
Embrace the challenge. I know it can be really daunting.
It's like a mixture of like fear and excitement and nervousness. So I've learned to like embrace this feeling.
You're never going to know if you don't put yourself out there and try. And if it's a no, it's not forever.
Welcome to First Frame, brought to you by Tell a Story Hive. I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. And we're excited to be here with you again one more time for a very special look back at our first season.
We've covered a lot of ground in these 12 episodes, heard from a number of really passionate and talented creators, and heard so much valuable advice from industry insiders.
So let's take a look at the highlights, lessons learned, and key takeaways to make sure you, our listeners and viewers, didn't miss a thing.
As Cam's been saying all season, Canadian creators need a podcast to call home. This is it. Cam, do you remember last year when you first came up with the idea of launching a podcast? I have to say, I was not sold at first.
Oh yeah, do I remember? But it turns out making a podcast is a ton of work, but also a lot of fun. Thankfully, we worked through it all, and now we have a better understanding of the challenges that our creators face. Like why one of them filmed their first episode 13 times, you told me the other day.
Absolutely. It has been a huge roller coaster ride, especially for a couple of people who've never hosted a podcast before. What do you think was the biggest challenge we had to deal with?
Where to even start? Which topics to discuss? Which guests we need to chase down? Juggling our schedules, like two people, not just ours, but our guests as well. Then we had to do the cut reviews in post, and never mind just the jitters we had in being camera for the first time. So putting yourself out there as a host can be, you know, to be honest with you, pretty nerve-wracking.
It really makes you realize that you're not perfect, and that's completely okay. We are human. You have to learn as you go, just as our listeners and viewers are doing on their creative journeys.
For sure. So with that in mind, let's look back at our own journey and share some of our favorite moments and themes. One thing that came up over and over again in pretty much every episode we did was the importance of finding your community.
It's so foundational, Cam, whether it's building an audience, sourcing out a support network, or connecting with collaborators.
First of all, you need somebody in your corner and you need a team. Just a couple of people that will come on board with you, that will tell you the truth, not just yes people, because I don't have all those people in my corner. I actually don't look for yes people. I look for people that are going to be true. They're going to give me their opinion. And I just think they're going to be real. So I think you need those people.
Don't do it alone. I think that's what I've been learning and that's what I've been told. I think as a creative, you're always like, okay, these are my ideas. This is really cool. I'm going to figure it out. But nothing gets done without a collective. So I would say like find people, even if it's not friends that are in the content creation world or do film, people that could just, you know, help out in other ways. So find your collective, find your people. Don't do it alone.
This is a relationship-based industry. And even if the first project that you're bringing forward doesn't get off the ground with the folks you were really hoping to back your project, think about it as a long-term relationship and really prioritize that. Because if you stick in this industry, you're going to be crossing paths with people for 10, 20, 30 years, however long you stick around. And these are lifelong, career-long relationships. So really focus on that.
It's about finding the team and the partners that are going to help you bring your story and your vision to life. So it's, to me, it's about finding that community, and it's, you know, going to meetups and industry events. There's all sorts of myriads of places people can go to meet like-minded folks that are also wanting to make content. And so find those people, find that right team. And that will start to open doors, work through it together.
The one thing that really helps me is it's a small group, but I have some really close creative friends who are women who are doing incredible work, who like support me, who I turn to. So I think it's also really important when you're a creative to have other creatives who you can trust, who you can turn to with your mask down and really share your inner struggles.
A lot of our like early engagement with people was just like telling people what the project was. Be like, no, this is a documentary. It's created by fans. It's not an official work, but it's about as close to being official without actually being official as you can get.
The community has truly been a family. Like, you know, it sounds so cheesy and everyone's always going to say these kinds of things, but truly without the community, we wouldn't be here today.
Wow, we've got a lot of great advice from our guests. What's your big takeaway on the topic of community?
Honestly, when it comes to community and the conversations that we had, I kept hearing over again how a community can really set you up for success. If you need to build that community around you to really be able to create your best work, and that community will be there to support you and hold you up in those moments where you maybe think you can't do this, or if you know you run into a roadblock, that community will be there to help you overcome that roadblock. So I think that's what really took away from me, is that community is super important to help you achieve your ultimate goal of your project. And at the same time, I would say also maintaining that community and not burning any bridges, because we are such a tight-knit community when it comes to content creation in Canada specifically.
Absolutely. I think just acknowledging that this entire industry is built around community. So whether you want to be a filmmaker or a live streamer or even a digital content creator that is just putting their content online, your success is completely built around your community. And especially for new and emerging creators who maybe don't have all the skills in all areas, don't fully understand the entire process of creating content and getting it out to audiences, your community can really be there to support you as you are learning along your journey. Another word we heard a lot was authenticity and the importance of having a true connection to the content you're creating.
Ask yourself, but am I the right person? Do I have a lived connection? Do I have a lived experience? What makes me the proper person to do all of that work to represent that story, the community that it's connected to? And if it's not you, to step aside and create that space for somebody else, the right person to be telling that story.
Make sure that the projects that you're developing, scripted or non-scripted, are motivated by your own feelings, personal feelings, whether it's a struggle or a win, as long as it's motivated by you, it becomes an output where a piece of you is ingrained and embedded in it. So just do it and always, always write what you know.
We wanted to have this level of authenticity with the fans because Reboot has a bit of a rocky history and people were really skeptical as to like who we were, what we were doing. We had to be so upfront as to, no, we are fans. Like, we are one of you. Like, we want to do this right.
Authenticity is so key, Jen. And our guest pointed out that diversity and inclusivity are a big part of that. Like the saying goes, no story about us without us.
A lot of people want to tell stories, but when you're engaging with marginalized communities in particular, it's important that they are at the center of every aspect of that project.
Because we don't see, you know, faces like mine on the big screen in Hollywood that much, we were always seeking alternate sources, which YouTube was a huge source for Asian creators. And, you know, it's not like they were telling all these Asian stories. They were just telling regular love stories. You know what I mean? Just with faces like mine. So that was super inspiring.
We're doing this because this is where the best content lies, and seeing stories that give us better understanding of each other, that help us to get glimpses into worlds that we wouldn't otherwise see. And then conversely, to see ourselves reflected on screen.
One of Canada's strengths is how diverse we are, how many communities we represent. That's what makes up Canada, our society. It should make up our screen industry. And right now it is not reflecting that. Everyone wants to see themselves reflected on the screen. That's really about isolation and feeling alone. And the more we can see ourselves on screen, the better, and the better stories that will be told, more authentic as well.
There's lots to chew on there for sure. I think what stands out most to me is that it's key to stay true to who you are, what you're passionate about, and really keep that front and center. If you do, your audience is definitely going to feel that connection and be more drawn to the stories that you're wanting to tell, whether that's a viewer or it could even be a funder. At StoryHive, you know, we receive anywhere from 1,100 to 1,300 pitches each year, and you can definitely see this in the pitches. Creators that stay true to who they are and what they're passionate about, those pitches really stand out from the rest.
Couldn't agree more with you, Jen. I also think that it came out loud and clear that being true to yourself and on camera is also very important, because people are there to see you, or if you have a fandom or you have people that are starting to follow you, they're there because of the authentic person that you are, not because you're creating some facade of a person that's not truly that. They'll see through that, right? And that's not why they're there. They're there for you. So be authentic to the person that you are. The passion will come through that, and the people will start following you because of that passion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jen, one phrase that's absolutely seared into my mind through our conversations this season is, do your homework.
Oh, yes. We heard this so many times. Whether you're pitching, budgeting, applying for funding, we've heard over and over again how important it is to do the research and avoid some really common mistakes.
The most common one is people not understanding who they're pitching to. So just doing that basic homework is looking at the producer guidelines, and everybody has those these days, and really understanding what fits for the organization that you're pitching to. And then the second one that you see a lot is people will pitch a topic instead of a story. And obviously, right, we're looking for what is the story that you want to tell and what is your way into that story and trace that out. And sometimes people get stuck on the topic itself.
A perfect pitch is clearly developed. It is also honed in so that it's not 45 pages long, you know, that it really does drill down and feel like you have the subjects in place, that you've clearly seen the intersections of our areas of focus and what we can do within the regions in which we support, and also be really clear about what you're looking for and your timelines for all of that. It's so important for us to really understand the doability of a project and know that you've thought it all through.
One of the most common mistakes that creators do is they assume that their project is eligible for everything. No. Yeah. Really look into read the guidelines and the regulations and the eligibility requirements of each grant application. It's really about looking for the right funding for the right project.
Every new budget I do now, I'm always learning from the things that came up on the last show that I was like, whoa, like didn't account for that. So it's kind of like an ongoing kind of learning situation.
I think I'm one of those rare people that likes budgeting, but it's because it feels like the project is coming into reality at that moment. And the biggest lesson is that essentially, however much budget you have, that will dictate effectively what you can actually make. You cannot compromise on food, and you cannot compromise on transportation. Again, that is if you're not paying people. Apart from that, you cannot compromise on insurance.
We got so much good advice about funding and budgeting and pitching. It's hard to pick my favorite moment, but if I was to say a piece of advice, it would be tailor your pitch specific to the actual funding or application that you're actually going after. Do not just do one pitch fits all. That never works. You know, as someone who reviews pitches on a regular basis, you can see that happen. When someone decides that they're going to apply for the same pitch in various different programs, it's obvious. When you really do want something unique, or you do want it tailored specifically for that fund that you're applying for.
100%. Say it louder for the people in the back, because we definitely see that all the time.
Tailor your pitch.
And then I would say, to add on to that, it's making sure that you are prepared. And whether that's dialing in your budget, really understanding what your project is so it is clear and concise, it just makes it so much better for every single person that you are pitching your project to, whether that's your crew, whether that's a funder, whether you're trying to onboard sponsors. You really have to be prepared and understand your project inside and out so that you can speak to it.
Exactly. And actually, if I could add one additional piece of advice, if you have an opportunity to use visuals when you're submitting a pitch, it really does add something to it, even if it's not actual images from what your film is or what you're pitching, but it is representation of what you're trying to achieve. It really does help with the person who is on the other end reviewing the pitch to actually get an idea of what you're trying to get across.
Another big lesson we learned firsthand this season is the importance of persistence, because being a creator means that things aren't always going to be easy.
It's so true, Jed. Even doing this podcast, we ran into many delays. We had a number of technical issues at one point. We even had some guests that just straight up said no, that they didn't want to be part of the podcast. But keeping at it is key.
You're going to hear no way more often than you're going to hear yes. And so you have to remember that this is your vision, your story, really, truly believe in yourself.
You're going to get one yes for every 10 no's. For a while there, when we were like really deep in it, we would have a list going on our whiteboard where when we were at 7 no's,
we knew that it was coming, and we never got the 10 no's. There was always a yes. But if we got two yeses in a row, then we know there's maybe 20 no's coming.
Don't become so tunnel vision that it's just about this one project. Listen to what you're hearing about why this project is or isn't a fit right now. And then, you know, it might be the next project, right? But as you grow in that understanding of what people are looking for, you'll learn how to tailor your pitch for the needs of each specific broadcaster or streamer or whoever that client is.
Embrace the challenge. I know it can be really daunting, especially if you're doing your first budget or just even doing your 10th budget. But I think just, really embracing the process and kind of just diving in headfirst, embracing the fact that you're going to make mistakes.
If you want to get into broadcast, try like grab a random episode of a TV show you love and recreate it. Film it yourself shot for shot. Try to match as many angles as possible. You'll learn so much in doing that. You'll understand the timing, the pacing, how scripts work way better than just continuing to make your own videos.
Find a way to own your audience because they're, at the end of the day, they're actually what is valuable for you and for everybody else.
A no isn't forever. You have the opportunity to learn from it. And I think when we're so scared of even putting ourselves out there, a no is better than a what if, because then you can pivot and you can learn, you can adjust. You're never going to know if you don't put yourself out there and try. And if it's a no, it's not forever.
This is something I really believe in. And I know so many people have heard me say this before. A no isn't always a no. It usually just means not right now. And for me, I think this is a really important piece for new and emerging creators, because I fear that creators will apply to a fund for the first time. They'll get a no and they instantly think, I wasn't good enough. My pitch wasn't strong enough. I'm going to forget it. I need to try and do something else. And I think in a lot of cases, there's so many reasons why you might get a no, and understand that you are going to get more no's than yeses. You just have to keep pushing for that yes. It could be that a funder doesn't have enough money, which often is the case at StoryHive due to the number of pitches that we actually get. Maybe the story is not a fit for what they're looking for at that specific point in time. They might be looking for something very specific, or perhaps your pitch was slightly underdeveloped. So go back to your belief that you have in your story, why you feel this story needs to be shared, and keep pushing, because the yes is there. You just have to find it.
Yes will eventually come. I think, to your point, believe in yourself. Don't doubt yourself. Continue to push forward. Someone will want to fund it. It just needs to be the right time. Continue to build your network because, you know, it's all about right timing, right place, right person, right fund. But your story's worth sharing. Just don't give up on yourself. Speaking of believing yourself, let's jump into our last big theme of the season, which I think is extremely important, which is conquering your self-doubt and getting out of your own way.
It's okay if you have self-doubt, that sinking feeling sometimes, but it's part of your job to sort of, again, protect your dream. If someone says no, it doesn't mean that it's a bad idea. I've come to recognize, like, whenever I feel this fear, it's like a mixture of like fear and excitement and nervousness. So I've learned to like embrace this feeling, like recognize it, and then be like, okay, this only means like the bigger the risk, the bigger the reward. So the bigger the jump, the bigger the reward.
I kind of thought I had some imposter syndrome coming in. You know, I was a master's of anthropology student. I didn't have anything to do with film at that point. I was probably my number one obstacle standing in my way in the beginning. I kind of felt like I almost snuck my way into the StoryHive project because I felt so, you know, from such a totally different sphere.
You need to be able to look back at your stuff or even look at your stuff right now, be very present with what you're doing and appreciate the amount of effort and the amount of success that you've already accomplished.
When you get into your own way sometimes of going, oh, they wouldn't want to talk to me, or my stuff's not good enough for them, or my stuff's not good enough for the festival, you're hurting yourself in ways that I cannot describe.
We also heard a lot about managing anxiety and stress and taking care of your mental health in general.
Whether you're a content creator on TikTok, a filmmaker, a TV host, whatever, the mental health aspect is really important. And I've had to tell some of the people I'm working with, like, just so you know, like, I'm like just one person and I don't have like a big team, and learning to stand up for myself while doing the job. It's such a fine balance.
I started to value myself based on the numbers, and I started getting depressed because if I didn't reach a certain number, it would really affect my mental health. So that's why I took a step back and I'm like, you know what? It doesn't have control over me anymore. I'm doing what I want to do. And if it works out, then it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And that's something that people really need to take in consideration.
In the world of creators, there's a set of stressors that's really unique to that field that can make that mental health piece feel even more difficult to manage. Sometimes I think in the industry, there's also this sense of a badge of honor in being able to tough it out and get through it, that's a measure of success, is to be able to tough it out and get through it. But in the long term, it's not healthy for us, and we do end up with consequences in the long term.
There was so much good advice in there, Jen. And what really hits home for me is you cannot do your best work unless you're taking care of your own mental health. You really need to make sure you're putting yourself first. This can be a job or a career that can be very demanding on you, with deadlines and posting and hitting that timeline when you need to get posts done or picture lock or fine cut. Like there's all these deadlines you have within this career where I think you really need to make sure that you're still taking a moment to take a step back, make sure that you're dealing with your anxiety and your stress levels and making sure that you're bringing your best self to your job every day. So I would really say that hit home for me.
Yeah. As the old saying goes, you can't pour from an empty cup, right?
Exactly.
For me, when it comes to mental health, I think one of the key things that I always think about is burnout, because it is so common in creative fields. Whether you are a filmmaker that has a long production timeline, some films can be a year to create, some films can be multi-years to create, right? So being able to focus on your mental health through a very long process in completing a project, where on the flip side, if you think of digital content creators, it's the hustle and bustle of creating content all the time that can burn creators out. Always the go, 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 the next piece of content, how fast can we get it up? And really making sure your audience always has something to watch can also cause burnout. So focusing on your mental health will not only help you perform in whichever type of creative journey you want to follow, but also will help all of those people around you. Our guests also shared a lot of really valuable resources with us this season, from funding organizations and government agencies to art councils and community groups. There are way too many to list, so we'd really encourage you to check out our previous episodes if you haven't already.
And speaking of those episodes, Jen, if you had to pick a favorite moment from the entire season, what would it be?
You mean other than hearing our producers reassure me that we can fix it in post, which has become my all-time favorite phrase ever, as someone who was completely terrified to be on camera. For me, there were so many incredible moments this season. It's really hard to pick one, you know, from Jacqueline discovering her tagline in episode 2 to being able to hear from my Story Hub program managers, Nicholas and Kent, and hear from their perspective as, you know, filmmakers with lots of experience. It makes me really proud that our creators have the chance to learn and work with such incredible people. But ultimately, I would say my favorite moment was actually jumping in and just doing it. You know, from when we first started chatting about this idea, I had never considered the idea of being the host of a podcast. I thought the podcast was a great idea, but the idea of being a host terrified me. It brought up fear. It brought up imposter syndrome, because this is really outside my wheelhouse and comfort level. But it really put me in the same place as our creators that apply and are in our programs. I have a newfound understanding and respect for everything that they go through, for any content creator to create content. And I think just overcoming that fear of being on camera, forgetting that we're recording, and really diving into incredible conversations that we wouldn't otherwise have been able to have, while learning through this process and, you know, understanding all the work that is required to launch a podcast, for me was just, I'm proud of us. Let's just say that.
I completely understand where you're coming from, Jen. I felt a lot of the same things that you just talked about. Which also loops it back to, like, I think my favorite moment, which is really our very first episode where we talked about, can I really do this? Which really hit home for me, getting onto the mic for the very first time, being in front of the camera. But we had, you know, 3 really amazing guests that showed us that it could be easily done, from Kels and Kat and Griffin, and really just saying, put yourself out there, be you. Be prepared to, you know, make mistakes. Be prepared to learn a lot and be fearless, I think, is what one of them said at one point in time. So I think all I say that would be my favorite moment because they wrapped up all of the things that I felt over this first season in our very first episode.
Yep. I absolutely could not agree with you more.
So what do you say? Should we do it all over again next year?
Well, I never thought I would actually say this, but I am 100% in. So I guess it's official. Keep an eye out for season 2 coming in 2026 on YouTube, Optik TV, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
I guess that's it for this episode and our first season of First Frame brought to you by Tell a Story Hive. A huge thanks to all of our guests who shared their advice and experience with us. And thanks to you, our viewers and our listeners, for joining us. It's been an absolute blast.
It has. It has been so much fun. And if you'd like to learn more about how Tell a Story Hive can help you along your content creation journey, you can check out storyhive.com. Until next time, I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. And that's a wrap.